Today we are going to read from Old Testament book of Job, chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. I'll read from NASB, New American Standard Bible. Verse 20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Blame what? For what had happened to his life on that one day. One day, four terrible things happened to him. Two cruel bandits invaded his property, killed his servants, and took away all his material possessions, herds and flocks and camels and everything he owned. And then tornado came and killed all his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And finally, the fire came from heaven and burned all the rest left for him. Few servants escaped. And each escaped servant approached Job and reported for all those things terrible happened to him. After such reports, four separate calamities took place at the same time. He rose, tore his robe, meaning expressing his extremely deep grief, and shaved his head, same thing. Now he fell to the ground and worshipped. Fell to the ground and worshipped. It is pure, humble attitude of worship. Prostrated, touching every part of his body, completely fell to the ground, flatly, and he did not grumble, nor complain, or mourn. He worshipped and confessed, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. Yahweh gave, Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job is a righteous man. God proudly praised him in front of conspiring, inciting Satan in heavenly place. When we read the rest of his book, we could see Job as a mere human being, sinful man, recognized that in the excitement of his passions, in the excitement of his great suffering, Job endures. As already Yahweh praised him as a righteous person, Job often speaks out of measure and says things that are a little bit too extreme. This portrait of Job strikes us as a very pastoral relevance. That's why today's chosen text speaks loud and clear to each one of us. If such affliction could overtake Job, and out of his weakness, Job could not overcome the temptation to despair, to be distressed. How can we, as ordinary Christians, stand up when we are under such extreme duress? So through this book of Job, our Heavenly Father wants to teach us how to be patient under extreme life-giving duress, because it comes from all directions, because we do not know what will befall upon us tomorrow, even 1 hour later, even 2 hours later, we do not know. Everything is from loving Heavenly Father's will. From Old Testament, out of book of Jeremiah and the book of Ezekiel, God spoke 5 individual names as righteous person. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1. In contrast to wayward Israelites, God said, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be told these people. That means wayward Israelites. Once again, Ezekiel chapter 14:14, there, God mentioned the 3 names, Noah, Daniel, and Job. If they stand before Yahweh, by their righteousness they will escape from Yahweh's wrath. But all the sinful people, sinners, cannot be pardoned. So Job is one of 5 righteous men God proudly spoken of. Here, we ordinary Christians ought to guard against speaking or acting out of measure whenever we are subject to trials and temptations without any known reasons. But in the end, what see is the words of Job can move his hearers, means us, to greater faith and trust in God and deeper surrender to Yahweh's holy will. So let us compare ourselves with what Job did and what Job said regarding his worshiping of the living God Yahweh. After Job heard all this bad news, 2 separate cruel bandits took away all his material possessions. 1 tornado destroyed his dear 10 grown-up children. The last one, fire from heaven, destroyed the rest of whatever he possessed. All those 4 separate terrible things he heard, he resolved to be patient with all things happened to him on that same day. Let's see what he did. He rose to take his persevering faith in action. Job's absolute faith in Yahweh. Regardless to what happened. He tore his outer garments, his robe, and he shaved his head, showing his extreme sadness and grief before his living God Yahweh. Yahweh alone definitely willed to bring all this upon Job and his wife. Grief or sadness is much more violent emotion than typical joy. Your Job guarded himself to express his grief and sadness not to fall into temptation, to overtake and overwhelm his mind, heart. And Yahweh brought all this to him on that day. Instead, Job acknowledged all this came from his creator and benefactor, Yahweh alone. He did not blame terrible weather, nor he did not blame cruel bandits. Now, he fell to the ground and worshipped. Here, fell ground means completely prostrated himself on the ground. Everything flat, he fell to the ground, facing to the ground. And it is complete surrender to God's will in worshiping mode. No wonder the Bible said he worshipped. Falling to the ground could have been construed to show a total disappointment and despair at what happened to him on that day with grudging spirit, but no. Job fell to the ground, and that led to complete surrendering worship. So Bible said worship. His falling to the ground was intentional in his humble heart and mind. Out of that terrible 4 separate reports, his posture is to show his willing acceptance of Yahweh's dealings with him and his wife and his material possessions and his dear grown-up 10 children. Now, his confession comes. 3 confessions Job made at his worshiping posture. First, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return there. Job's true humble and helpless origin he acknowledged, because without outside helps, the infant Job could not have survived coming out of his mother's womb. Whatever Job possessed were temporal in his lifetime, for the time being. After Job's death, he could not take anything with him to the grave, to his tomb. Second, Job gave the Lord. Yahweh gave. Yahweh takes away. Job gave very straightforward confession. Very simple and factual confession. Yahweh gave. Yahweh takes away. So he acknowledged the creator, benefactor Yahweh was the real owner of all he possessed, including his own life,
his wife, and his children, and all his material possessions. After Yahweh gave all this to Job, Yahweh once again took away. Meanwhile, Yahweh never gave up his ownership and his title over whatever Job had, including Job's own life. So Job knew he received all from Yahweh out of nothing but Yahweh's goodwill toward Job himself. Psalmist confessed in the same line, Psalm 94:2, "Blessed be the name, the man whom Yahweh disciplined, Lord Yahweh, whom you teach from your law." Job willingly subjected himself to the goodwill of Yahweh. Job showed his constant worshiping, grateful heart to Yahweh. And Bible said it was his regular practice. Every time one of his grown-up children had a party with his siblings, Job rose early morning to offer sacrifice for each one of their name so that they might not sin against God. If they had sinned against God, God would have forgiven them because of Job's intercessory offerings and prayers. That was his regular attitude of grateful heart to Yahweh, who gave everything to Job, including his own life. Maybe this time we should be aware of Apostle Paul's very pertinent, sobering recommendation. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 29 through 31. A kind of puzzling recommendation, but maybe at this time we might be attentive to it. Verse 29. "What I'm saying, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who weep as if they did not. Those who are joyful as if they were not. Those who make a purchase as if they had nothing. And those who use the things of this world as if not dependent upon them. For this world in its present form is passing away." Once again, in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 and 17, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." So, when God put all in our hands, it is on the condition that God may take it back when it seems good to God. Therefore, we are so much more obligated to God when God shall take and have caused us to enjoy some of it for the time being. It be one day, or one month, or one year. After such period of time, if God wills us to lose it all, that we should not find it strange thing happen to us. King Solomon confessed the same thing, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 50. As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go. As he came, shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Third, Job confessed, bless the name of the Lord Yahweh. Even if Job was harshly afflicted by God, he continued to confess that Yahweh is just. Yahweh is good in all dealings with him. If Yahweh does only after our pleasures, our desires, it would only cause us to confusion. But when Yahweh governs us according to his good pleasure and will, it is for our own profit and our eternal life. So, for Job, after acknowledging and confessing plainly that Yahweh is just and good in all his dealings with Job himself, it is quite possible for Job to bless God and his name from the bottom of his heart. Job recognized Yahweh as his merciful Father throughout all his life while tasting it. Now, as his dear child, when God afflicts Job, can he gnash his teeth against God? No. Following Job's righteous example. Furthermore, after the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in his exemplary prayer in the garden the night before his crucifixion, Father, thy will be done. So, our text concludes with this sentence, in all these things, Job sinned not, nor attributed to God anything unreasonable. God does everything by God's sound reason in his unsearchable wisdom. Therefore, the Holy Spirit tells us today, teaches us today, we must properly give God glory and bless God's holy name when we believe God does all things based upon God's very good pleasure. When we are afflicted, we must not think it happened without reason. Strange thing happened to us. No, rather we should think that God must have a just cause to do so to us for our own eternal life and salvation and to God's own honor and glory over against falsely inciting, accusing Satan in heavenly place. With such knowledge, we shall bear afflictions patiently, like many our spiritual forefathers did in the ages past, while humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father. Yes, I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who, with his precious blood, has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. That's what our spiritual forefathers confessed from their Heidelberg Catechism, question 1. This is our Heavenly Father's beneficial providence for the life of Job and for his dear children, including you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, no matter what happened to us, make us acknowledge always you are good to us out of your infinite, unsearchable wisdom and goodwill, so that we may keep our heartfelt gratitude towards you for whatever we have, starting from eternal salvation in Christ. Continue to encourage us, fill us with your Holy Spirit through the remainder of our earthly pilgrim journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.